Oh, it offends me to the soul to hear a robustious, periwig-painted fellow tear a passion to tatters, to very rags, to split the ears of the groundlings, who for the most part are capable of nothing but inexplicable dumb shows and noise.
Well, Henny, you better hang on to your bear bodkin, because you're going to hate this. It's John Malden, your host of the Inexplicable Dumb Show, starting now.
Hi, and welcome to episode 484 of the Inexplicable Dumb Show. I'm John Malden, and this week starts our first week of coverage for the 40th Humana Festival of New American Plays at Actors Theater of Louisville. And first up this week is the play Residence by playwright Laura Jackman. So we're going to get into that conversation just after, you guessed it, these brief messages.
Would you like to be a pal of the Inexplicable Dumb Show? Well, why don't you head on over to www.inexplicabledumbshow.com and look for the Hosting Donations Accepted button. Press that and make a donation and help the Dumb Show cover its web hosting fees. Your donation is greatly appreciated. Thank you for your support.
Hi, I am someone you will probably never meet. Yet I ask you to take time
to think about people you don't know but need your help. Children, some of them. And they don't all play, in the gutter, of course.
Well, maybe if it's called for.
These men, women, and yes, even the children are professional actors. They want and need your time, money, and support.
For just pennies a second, you can enjoy the fruits of their labor. Make sure they know you heard about them on the Inexplicable Dumb Show. They may look at you funny, but that doesn't matter. It's for the children.
It's for the children. It's time once again for some deep fried theater!
All right, so I'm with playwright Laura Jackman, and she wrote Residence, and welcome, Laura. It's early morning, Sunday morning, after the gala and the after party, and everybody's kind of, pleasantly tired.
Yes, that is accurate.
So how's it gone? How's the weekend gone for you?
It's been great. You know, it's, I feel like, no matter how many pep talks I give myself, my lizard brain takes over at certain points when I can't help it. So it's, you know, it's a nerve-wracking thing. For a lot of people, it was the first show they saw this weekend.
It was mine, yeah.
Yeah. So it was, you know, it was one of those situations of you're sort of in the lobby, you know, getting your tickets, waiting to go in, and you're seeing friends that you know really well. You're seeing friends that you haven't seen in years. But it's also that sort of the sick, creeping feeling of, we're all going in to see my play. Also, there was a little, they had seated me in the front row.
Oh, no.
Which I realized when I looked at my ticket. So I ran to the box office. I was like, I can't do that. And my director, we were seat buddies this whole weekend. And I was like, we can't be in the front row. So they gave us two seats in the back row. And then I ran up to the mezzanine and they looked at the tickets and they said, these are for last night's show. And I said, you know what? I'm the playwright. It starts in 3 minutes. Can you just let me in? And they were like, you have to go back down to the box office.
Oh, wow.
So I went back down. I got two new tickets. I came back up. I saw Hal across the way. I bolted for him just as our apprentice, Michael, was coming out to do the greeting.
No.
So, yeah, it started in a
What
in
a way to calmly attention. Start the weekend.
Oh, right? Yeah. Yeah, it's great.
But are you, I mean, is it just because it was the weekend, or are you that kind of, because I know when I direct things, I have that, like, sort of,
yeah,
it's out of my control now.
Yeah.
And I can't do anything.
I am a person who likes control.
Right.
So whenever I have to sort of submit to being out of control, it's a process. It's a multi-step process.
So what was the impetus of the story? What was
it sort of came from a bunch of different places. The first one was actually, so Hal Brooks and I have been trying to work together on a project since we first met, which was all the way back in, I want to say, early 2009. Mm-hmm. He was at my agency then, and our agents were both like, hey, we think these two would get along. So we met for coffee early that winter, and sure enough got along. And then it just took until 2014 to actually find our first thing to work on together. So we were actually out at Arizona State University working on a project, and we were staying at a brand new Residence Inn in downtown Tempe, Arizona, which is the setting for the play. And there is something about, first of all, there's something about living in a hotel, and there's something about living in a very new hotel where the staff is really excited to be there, and they're still sort of trying things out. Everything is brand new. And Hal was there, I think, for a total of 5 weeks. I was only there for about three, all in all.
Wow.
So it was, and the thing is that because it was a college production, we would rehearse at night.
Yeah.
So these vast days just stretched in front of us every single day. Hal took up yoga. There wasn't much to do.
It became a survival, huh?
Exactly. Exactly. There wasn't a whole lot to do. So, and I, you know, just sort of by the nature of theater, and then as I've sort of extended into television and now writing for games, I spend a lot of time on the road. I think probably in the last year, the longest I have gone without packing a suitcase is maybe 2 weeks, is the longest I've gone. And usually sometimes the turnaround is 24 hours. Sometimes the turnaround is 2.5 days. So it's just enough time to get home, be like, oh my God, the house is a mess. What am I going to do? Am I back in my real life? And then you're sort of leaving again.
Oh,
so
wow.
A lot of the play comes from that and sort of the pressure of your work not being in the place that you live, and especially what that means when you are a woman.
Mm-hmm.
And then also, you know, family experience with illness in general and mental illness specifically manifests throughout the play as we're sort of watching this character decompensate in front of our eyes. My own personal ambivalence about parenthood. It's a lot of things. So it's it's actually a very personal story that sort of comes from a collection of things as opposed to sort of one specific experience of mine.
Mm-hmm. So which of the three are you? three characters. What are you?
Oh, which of the three characters am I? Oh, probably Bobby. You know, yeah. I'm probably Bobby.
Well, that was interesting how that Bobby just sort of like that instant bond was kind of interesting between Bobby and May. That here it is something very short term. I mean, in the grand scheme of things, it's a very short. I mean, when you're gone through, I guess 5 weeks is a long time, but over a lifetime, you know, it's not that big a deal, right?
Yeah.
But the fact that they seem to have a connection that was sort of beyond just, hey, I'm going to be friendly to you because it's my job, you know?
Yeah.
Well, I really enjoyed that aspect of, and I was puzzled, I mean, not puzzled, but I was kind of thinking, well, could a person have that instant sort of connection to someone that's really totally randomly strange, you know? And I guess, right? I guess we do.
I think it's, you know, I think an amazing thing too is because I travel so much, I am constantly encountering hotel staff, Uber drivers, taxi cab drivers, all that. And I feel like there was a time 5 years ago, 10 years ago, where there was a level of distance between all those things. And so maybe you didn't talk to your taxi driver. And now, especially I think with the rise of Uber, the conversation is a part of it. And sometimes I'm frankly just exhausted and I can't participate beyond like hello and some friendly chat. But most recently I was in San Francisco for work and my Uber driver was from Uzbekistan. And it was like born in Korea and then grew up. So it was just like this really, it was really sort of amazing. And he was telling me all about sort of like his whole family is back there and how the culture is so different. And he and his girlfriend came out here and, you know, they want to sell cosmetics. Like that's the business, but he's doing all these like side hustles. And it was an hour ride, you know, up from SFO to Marin County where I was going. And we really just chattered the whole time. And I do think that, I don't know if it's like a loneliness thing that people can sense, but I do think that there's just something about Bobby's personality for all of his protestations about, you know, just some people aren't meant to be a dad. He's really good at taking care of people.
Right.
Even when taking care of people is the aggressive thing that they don't want in the moment.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Yeah, I was really drawn to that character. That, you know, and I know certain people in my life that have that Bobby quality of just, hey, what's you know, how can I help and what can I do, and it's all no big deal or whatever, you know. Yeah. So I was really drawn to him and drawn to the, and I like the aspect of the, especially when the world sort of collided when he had the phone calls and he's in the room and, you know. And so that when you get to see behind the, I'm a professional concierge or what, you know,
yeah.
You know, to the fact that this is a real person.
Yeah.
And Teresa was, you know, a real person who had real issues. And you're right. I mean, I think 5-10 years ago, we would not look at a hotel clerk or a taxi driver that way.
Yeah. I think there was sort of less permeability and now, in a really great way, I think. And that, you know, Hal and I found ourselves, he was there for 5 weeks. So he really did form friendships with members right. of the hotel staff. And we didn't have cars when they were there. So they would take us grocery shopping. We were so desperate for culture that we were like, okay, the Whole Foods, that'll do. We'll go get our kale. But it really, you know, there was like one independent coffee shop that Hal and I still argue about because he thought they were too slow and the music was too loud because he's old. But yeah, it was, you really just need to find time to fill the day. And part of the way that we filled the day was, you know, Hal was ordering tons of stuff from Amazon. So he was at the front desk like multiple times a day, just chatting, you know, waiting for his packages.
I think you mentioned Uber, but I think one of the things that breaks that down is that it's, I mean, it's a person. I mean, it's like, you know, going in, it's not, I don't know how to describe it. It is the side job usually of whoever's doing it. So they're not, I mean, they, I guess you sort of relate to them as a person more so than this is my taxi driver. And
yeah,
he's going to take two rights to make it a longer fare. You know what I mean?
Right. Exactly. Exactly. And it's also, you know, because now a lot of, I can't tell you, just even here in Louisville, we had an Uber driver and we were like, how long have you been driving? He was like, 4 days. He's like, I'm still learning my way around. I thank God for the GPS, but it really is like when the fundamental part of the driving process is no longer the fact that person knows their way around,
right.
You have to sort of find something different. You know what I mean? Because yeah, otherwise they're just following the turn by turn. So.
Well, cool. So what's next for you going forward here?
I am, you know, I just started, the older I get, the longer it takes me to write. And so I was in production on 2 plays last year, but both of them were, the production processes involved pretty heavy rewriting.
Mm-hmm.
But I have not started something new since I started Residence, which was in early spring 2014. So I just, very, very early, but I just started a new play, which I'm excited about. And I'm also sort of continuing to, last year, I took the year off from TV and I started contracting with a game studio. So I co-wrote 3 episodes of a video game. I'm working on another one now. I'm going to be doing more work for them. And then eventually I'll go back to staffing at some point in LA this year when I can find a show that I'm really excited about.
So is it entirely different beast writing for game
it's,
story?
You know, I'd say that it combines sort of like the television writer's room ability to sort of, you really need to be able to pitch story, stick to story, and map out story across sort of a shorter form within an episode, so 2 hours of content, and then within a season, so 10 hours of content. And you also sort of, just in terms of like dialogue ability, you really need to be able to what's called produce shippable content. So, you know, really on your first draft, be hitting something that feels like the tone of the game, like the character voice is right, and that really matches with sort of everyone else's writing in the game. It's very high pressured, which I actually really like. I kind of love it, actually. It's just a lot of words. It's sort of because of the branching paths. I don't know how much you play games, but you know, you make a choice and it'll send you down a different route than if you did another. So it's kind of like 3 screenplays worth of material in each episode of a game.
Wow.
So it's pretty vast.
Right.
It's big. Yeah. But again, I think it exercises sort of different parts of my writer's brain. And I think so far at least, it's helping keep each of the other parts fresh and sort of not tired.
Cool. Yeah, I was going to see how that kind of cross discipline sort of writing would affect your playwriting. So.
Yeah, they're, you know, I think they're related enough that it feels like I'm sort of doing different things every time I sort of rotate. Mm-hmm. And again, I really do feel like I'm going to accomplish something totally different in a theater than I am if I'm staffing on a TV show or if I'm sort of at the studio and working on an episode of a game. A lot of friends of mine have said actually that actually writing episodes of television has negatively affected the way that they build plays. I have not experienced that yet. Mm-hmm. But then again, you know, I've only written, you know, 2-ish episodes of television and only one, you know, one we got canceled before we got to produce it. So, so far in terms of the actual writing part of television writing, it's been much more about being in the room and sort of pitching stories, breaking stories across an episode and across a season.
Okay, cool. Well, thank you so much for your time and best of luck in the future.
Thank you. Thanks for having me.
Hey, actors. Want to set up a website that is not a Facebook account? Yeah. Use your name as your domain name. Check out DreamHost. It's easy to set up. And because you are a listener of the Inexplicable Dumb Show, you get a special treat. That's right. Go to www.dreamhost.com and enter this special code, IDS, all caps. You will receive 2 domain names with your web hosting package purchased from DreamHost. But only if you use the promo code IDS. And remember to use all caps on that. Just another way you get buzzed by the Inexplicable Dumb Show.
That's it. I'd like to thank playwright Laura Jackman for stopping by to talk about her play, Residence. If you are at Humana Festival and you want to share your thoughts on your favorite play or on this play in particular, please do so by calling the voicemail line at 615-866-1282 or put your thoughts in an email, podcast@inexplicabledumbshow.com, or follow the show on Twitter @inexplicableds, @ inexplicable, D, S. Find out the latest comings and goings and whatnot for the show via our Twitter feed. So next week, we're going to discuss Sarah Rule's play for Peter Pan on her 70th birthday. And we're going to have the guest of Les Waters, who is the director of that play and the artistic director of Actors Theatre of Louisville. So we're going to get into that conversation all next week. So until next week, this is John Malden saying, hey, I'll see ya. Bye.
Are you a music lover? Then let Magnatune dazzle you with how different we are from the rest of the music industry. Interesting independent artists in diverse genres. Perfect quality wave files in addition to MP3s and many other formats. Instant album downloads or traditional CDs by mail with free shipping. All this and half of every sale goes directly to the artist. So visit us now at magnatune.com. That's MAGNATUNE. Magnatune. We are not evil.
This podcast is a member of the Blueberry Network. Blueberry. No E's. That's Blueberry, BLUBRRY.com. Blueberry.com.
Pop Alternative Media.